Well, good day, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of WTF Walk the Floors. I'm Stephanie Ledger with First Rate Hospitality, and I'm joined with my co-host, Michelle Klein of Klein Hospitality. How are you today, Michelle?
I'm doing great, Stephanie. How are you?
Fabulous. And it looks like we have a fabulous guest with us as well today. So who do we have?
We have a very fun guest. We brought a mime. Just kidding. Backstory, we have Susan Berry in the house with Hive Marketing. Susan, how are you? Tell us about your background. And if you'd like to explain why we're calling you a mime, you can go for it.
Well, I'm very happy to be here. I'm very nervous that I look like a mime because I'm wearing a black and white shirt and red lipstick and I have very pale skin. But we're just going to move forward as though I'm not a mime. Although if you're watching the show on YouTube, I will be miming throughout the program. So look forward to that. So my background is my first adult job was as an off-premise caterer in Tallahassee, Florida, where I went to college and then hung around for a few years after I graduated. I ran an off-premise catering company for Andrews, which was a very long-lived, famous restaurant group there back in the day. I think it has closed like maybe right before or right after the pandemic. That job was wild. It was the craziest thing I ever did and the hardest thing I ever did. For example, I used to do things like sleep in my car in between events, and the trunk of my car had about a, like, this is so gross, y'all, like a 2-inch layer of baked beans in the trunk of my car because I was transporting a drop-off in a hotel pan of baked beans, and they, like, the wrap came off and they sloshed out all into my car. It's so disgusting.
So we're kicking off with a WTF moment already. This is great.
Listen, please, my entire career is all one string of WTF moments. So don't worry. So after I did that for like 2.5 years, my then boyfriend, now husband, and I moved across country to Denver, Colorado. And I was not a hospitality graduate, even though FSU has an excellent hospitality program. I was an English major, and I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do with that degree or with my life or whatever. So my mom convinced me to apply for jobs in the catering arena because I had some good experience, and she thought, you know, might as well not waste that. You were put through hell for the last 2.5, 3 years of your life, so you might as well get a cushier job as a result of that. So that's what I tried, and it actually succeeded. I went to work for Starwood in Denver and ended up working for them for a really long time. I was the director of sales and marketing for Starwood for 10 years in Denver, Washington, D.C., and then here in Atlanta, Georgia. And most of what I did for that company was open new build hotels, which is, if I know you guys have both, I think both done that, and it's so much fun, but it's hard. It's crazy. But the thing that I loved about doing it was that the director of sales and marketing was the first person to get hired because there's a hole in the ground. There's nothing to clean, nothing to operate, nothing, no food to prepare, blah, blah, blah. So I was the only person that had anything to do. So I got to be the general manager, director of finance, HR person, executive housekeeper, like all those things for a good long time. So it was really exciting because it was busy and crazy, but it was also so much learning. And most importantly, so much autonomy. Nobody was in my business. I could do whatever I wanted. And because I am a nerd, what I wanted was to work. Like, I wasn't trying to get away with anything, but I just loved like not having someone looking over my shoulder. So then, you know, when those positions start getting filled, you're like, dude, who is minding my business? Like, get out of here. I want to be alone. So I opened a Westin in the DC market and a W here in Atlanta. I did those two hotels in rapid succession, short period of time. And I was like, listen, there has to be something else for me to do here. So I left in the spring of 2009 to start my company, Hive Marketing, which originally was founded to do social media for individual hotel properties. The company has iterated and changed a lot in the 15 years that we've been in business. And now what we do is business to business marketing and commercial strategy for the hospitality industry. So that means we help hospitality companies market to each other versus helping individual hotels attract new guests to come and stay with them. And that concludes the speaking portion. I will now just be miming for the rest of the episode.
I love it. So let's talk a little bit more about the Hive marketing, because it's a very unique offering that you provide for the hotels. So just walk us through, if we were being a potential client, you know, how would you be able to benefit for those clients?
You got it. So the types of clients that we work with are hotel brands, third-party management companies, private equity ownership groups, and that's a unique class that we do a special thing for, vendors and startups. And so the work that we do is involved in helping those types of companies sell, price, communicate, compete, market, brand, to one another. So a perfect example of this is when I have a third-party management company client, what our mission is to help position them in the ecosphere of hospitality such that people who own hotels are encouraged to hire them to manage their properties. And that is a very unique sales cycle and a very unique thing to market, because nobody's like, let's Google who should be my hotel manager, right? Like, no one ever Googles that. So you have to kind of come at it in a roundabout way by positioning your executives as thought leaders, by creating a really powerful employment brand so that the third-party management company has great things to say about their talent, their lack of turnover, the resources they have in various markets. So then that too makes them more appealing. So there, it's a little bit of a roundabout type of marketing versus here's a package. Would you like to book it? If that makes sense.
Yes. That's wonderful. No, I love it. And I think also too, a lot of people that aren't in hospitality or just starting off in hospitality, not realizing that there is an owner that owns the building, and then they are looking at who's going to be either a brand that's going, like a box brand like a Hyatt Hilton or a Marriott franchise, that would be now where they want to put the flag of that property, or also to a management company where maybe they have more independent boutique, but then they have a collection of a variety of hotels. So now the owner really is just, I just want to collect the check.
Exactly. I did a whole episode of my podcast about that, because I think it's one of the hidden things. And that's part of the reason why vendors and startups are in the mix for us, because, you know, you can have the greatest product in the history of time, but if you don't understand some of the intricacies of our industry like that, you're absolutely lost, because you're going to go call on general managers who are definitely the bosses in their operation, but not always able to make those types of buying decisions. So, you know, part of the work of helping vendors and startups market to hospitality is to help them understand who is who.
Great way to think outside of the box. Susan, tell us about your podcast.
Oh my gosh, it's my favorite thing to talk about. And I was very fortunate to have the two of you as guests on my show. In fact, it was one of like the things I'm going to remember the most from this first quarter, because it was an episode that I recorded on the road for the first time ever. And I was a nervous flipping wreck. Like, seriously, I was so nervous that it was going to sound crazy or that I was going to drop it. So why am I explaining all this? Here's what's up. The show is Top Floor, and it is a podcast about the future of hospitality. Our conceit, sort of the metaphor of Top Floor, is that we are taking a ride in an elevator up to the top floor. And so we talk to the guest throughout the ride all the way up, and then we head back down to the loading dock because, as both of you know, in hotels and restaurants and lots of places I'm learning, the loading dock is where everybody goes to tell their crazy, funny, weird stories. Their WTF stories, if you will.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing the podcast? And can you, this is going to be probably very difficult to pinpoint, but can you share the most memorable loading dock story that you heard so far?
Okay. I have been doing Top Floor. The first episode came out on September 14th of 2021. That was my mom's birthday. And so it's an easy date for me to remember. So that puts us at about a little over 2.5 years. We released episode 130 this week. And
congratulations.
Thank you. All of the loading dock stories are the best. There is one that I don't think I can do it justice, but it was this man, Lenny Moon, who at the time was the CEO of the most interesting loyalty program. That company has since changed directions, and I don't think he's still involved, so I'm not going to go through all that. But this poor man, when he was an intern or probably a management consultant, but like young in his career, he was at work and he was super busy. So he went and got some sushi from a vending machine. Ew. And it did not work out well for him. And his story is like, I can't even believe that a human being could ever tell me something like that. Like, I was crying, like I could barely breathe of how just wild the whole thing was, if that makes sense. Like, it was an outrageous story.
Starting with a decision of getting sushi out of a vending machine.
No kidding. And so if somebody wants to listen to it, it's episode 27. It's called Fast Food Sushi. So it's not a easy one to miss, but that's the one that just really was like, holy macaroni. I cannot even believe that this is real.
Should I cry or should I laugh?
I was crying. I thought I was going to have to stop recording. I mean, I was like, I don't even think I've ever laughed like that before. I was laughing so hard. I was choking. It's worth listening to. Highly recommend. Run, don't walk.
Yes. But I'm sure too, you know, as I would speak for Michelle and I, is, you know, with doing this podcast and then you think you've heard of everything, or you're able to say, okay, yeah, so we can probably predict what kind of story based upon their background or the type of department that they're in. And then all of a sudden something comes out and we're like, oh my gosh, is that really happening? Or
I know.
It's just crazy of hearing these stories, but I think our viewers and listeners like to hearing those shocking moments as well.
Yes,
and
for
you
sure.
Think you've heard it and experienced it all, and then you realize, nah, not really.
It's impossible. No. It's impossible. I mean, y'all, and the stories that people tell me that they won't let me record and use are even more crazy than the ones that I get on the show. So there are some stories out there for sure.
Yes, yes. So, Susan, we're, you know, just starting to wrap up our mini series of talking about inspections and audits for the hotels. And one thing is to also too is being able to touch upon on the marketing side. And we just want to kind of talk about, you know, with also too what you're doing for your brands to making sure of how they're being able to market, and even the startups. So let's just talk about, for the website, for example, is how can they make sure that they're having that checks and balance for their website in preparation for an inspection or for an auditor?
I think that the sort of basics are always important, making sure that you have up-to-date photography, making sure that you are following brand standards, not just like we put a par of three pieces of terry in every room, not like that, but I mean using the right fonts and colors and graphics and images, and that you don't have something that is outdated. I think that's one of the things that really can kick you in the you know where and also makes it look like you're a little bit asleep at the wheel at a hotel if you've got, like, for example, I remember, I'm not going to say the name of the brand, but a brand that I worked for changed logos in the time that I worked for the company. And every once in a while, you would go to a property years later, like not they're just running out their pads of paper on the desk, right? Years later, and find that wrong logo in certain places. And you're just like, bro, what are you doing? So I think that's important. And the photography piece, not only having beautiful photography that is appealing to guests, but also having it be realistic and representative of what the hotel currently offers. There is nothing more frustrating to a guest than to see, for example, a beautiful three-meal restaurant and somebody eating dinner, and then to get to the hotel and the restaurant's closed for dinner. Like, come on, that's so uncool and unfair. So hopefully that touches on some of the things. What are some marketing things that you guys have seen? You're much more experienced than me in kind of auditing this stuff.
Well, I would have to say, especially with the logo. So if it is, say they may be doing some repairs. So, you know, please pardon our dust, or we're getting ready to enhance. And then the logo, like you were saying, is so one sign, the logo will be like 5 inches. And then the other sign, the logo is like itsy bitsy. you know, especially when we are doing the training, is we want the operations team to making sure that they are involving marketing and having marketing it really being the approval for the signage, to making sure, like how you had mentioned with the brand standards. I used to work for a very well-known brand, and it would always be the brand name, comma, the location. And I remember my director of marketing would also too yell at us politely in an email, even if we wrote the property name wrong in an email communication, even if it was an internal. But ever since then, I know to making sure that when talking about a brand name or logo, that we need to get marketing involved and not just go, oh, this looks pretty, let's just post this.
It's so such a good point. And the thing that just I was reminded of as you were talking are the on the fly signs. Every hotel that hears this should go back to work and
go up the floors.
Yes, for sure. But also, if you don't have this, have someone create something that is on brand and put in the shared drive that says elevator out of service, ice machine broken, what in whatever your brand language is, something that looks good, not like a raggedy piece of typing paper, half taped with some random font and word spelled wrong. Nothing could be worse than a word. No.
So, Michelle, Susan, if you don't know this yet, one of Stephanie's biggest pet peeves is signage. So I feel like you found your match.
I'm so the same. And I hate homegrown signs, but if you have to have them, at least have them be on brand and in a color, and like not look like it's from a mimeograph machine from 1984. You know what I mean? Like, be cool.
Yeah. I have been involved with big properties my entire career. And one of the things that happens when you go into a department that has that need or finds themselves with that need of creating that brand is they realize that in going through marketing, they have to have all these extra time that now they have to calculate into taking that sign to the finish line. I think that, Susan, you said something that is very important, like explaining to the team why going through marketing or having a shared drive where you can tap into that resource to create your signage if you don't have enough time to go through the marketing team is so imperative. Explain the why behind the decision, and then the team is going to understand, oh, okay, so this is how we're going to do it. And giving them the resources that they can use on the fly, because sometimes emergencies happen and you have to put up a sign and you don't have 7 days to wait for the marketing department to get back to
you. And you shouldn't have to. You should have some stuff sitting on the share drive. You can just print it out. It's cute. You're good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, Susan. So let's start getting into a WTF moment. I know we've been talking about a few of them. So share with our audience and viewers your WTF moment.
Oh my gosh. I have a very long list. I think because I think your audience is made up of operators more than marketers. I'm going to tell a quick operation-y story, and then I'm going to tell a quick marketing story if we have time.
Sounds great.
My op story comes from my very first hotel when I was just a little baby. And in those old-fashioned times, the dumbest, youngest, most inexperienced managers in the hotel got to be the weekend MOD. So basically what that meant was you would check into the hotel Friday after work and you would stay there all flipping weekend until after lunch on Sunday. And you were the boss of everything. And you had a huge key ring that weighed 75 pounds and a huge radio that weighed an additional 75 pounds. And you had to carry those around. So when I was a director of catering at my very first hotel, like very soon after I started, I had to be a weekend MOD. And I'm telling y'all, I think I was like 24. I was so young and I did not know anything. And so I was director of catering. So I was sitting there doing BEOs. We didn't have Delphi. We barely had computers. I'm like typing BEOs one key at a time. Right. And thinking like, yeah, I'm going to get ahead. I'm going to get all these stupid BEOs done. Radio goes front desk to MOD. I'm like, oh, hi, here I am. What can I do for you? And they asked me to come to the desk, because there was an elderly gentleman standing there who had requested to see the manager. And I said, hello, I'm Susan and I'm the manager. And he said, oh, no, no, I wanted the manager. And I said, what happened was I am the manager. So sorry, tell me how I can help. And turns out this gentleman was under the impression that our servers in the restaurant had been, quote, Mickeying his food for several months, capturing his mind from between 1 to 5 hours each time. And I was lucky he had not ended up naked in a field somewhere. The reason he knew this was because he had attended a number of law enforcement conventions in Las Vegas and learned about restaurant servers Mickeying your food.
You're welcome.
So I was like, cool. Well, I'm 1,000% sure that never happened, but let me take your name and number and I'll have the real manager contact you on Monday.
The real manager.
And I sent him on his merry way to hopefully find medication and rest. That was a very early WTF moment in my career that was crazy.
Oh, great man. Recovery. What was the marketing one?
So the marketing one is not maybe as much about hotels as it is about my company, because I did the dumbest thing that anyone could ever do when I started my business, which is I made a website, I created branding, I designed a logo, picked colors and fonts. Like, I was very into it. And then I published my website, business cards, every other thing with the wrong phone number on them. Yep, that's right. Published my phone number incorrectly for like 6 months. I didn't even know. And I'm like, Nobody's calling me back.
Not gaining any traction.
I wonder what's going on. Oh, well. Yeah, that's right. Wrong phone number. So let me remind everyone to quadruple check things like that, because I'm not really a details person, and those details matter a whole flipping lot.
Speaking along those lines, I've even seen it. So especially where it's the brands, you know, they do their signature. It's a certain way, you know, for all the leadership or anyone that has an email of the brand standard for their signature. And a lot of times they'll just copy from another manager. And especially too, if they have like either the email or the phone number, it's still hyperlinked to the previous one, even though they typed their information. And I've even run into that a few times. Well, then I'm like, oh, okay, I'll click it because I was like forward an email or copied on an email. And so I just click on their signature and then it would go to someone totally different. I was like, oh, well, guess that wasn't supposed to go to you. But yeah,
okay, Johnny's definitely reading the email and thinking, why is this person calling me Jackie? Yes. Crazy talk.
This came up for me, has come up for me with some clients in the last year. So I'm interested in what you think. Speaking of email signatures, the way to make them attractive and beautiful is to design a graphic and then put it into your email system. The problem with that is that a lot of people have their email set to not show that, or it's very easy for that graphic to fall off or break or look crazy or whatever. I've kind of come to the point where I'm not a big email signature person. Like, I think you should have your name, your company name, and your phone number in plain text, no graphics, no whatever, just because that at least gets the information across versus potentially having this beautiful, well-designed graphic that then falls off. What do you think?
That's a radical
tip. Absolutely.
I love it.
Well, I think also too is because especially if you start emailing a new brand like you as well with the firewalls, and now also too depending of the type of email, it goes under promotions or spam or social, and it's all based upon what is in the body of your email. So I think that brings up a great point, Susan, is, you know, especially your first initial email communication, to making sure of how can you bypass for the recipient to receive it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. 100%. Problem solved.
Problem solved. See, we're saving the world. One podcast at a time. Susan, thank you so much for being on the show. You are so much fun. I love the tips. I love your sharing your two WTF moments to cater to everyone in our audience and yours. And we hope to have you back on the show soon, sending you many wishes of great success as you continue on this adventure with Hive Marketing and continue thinking outside of the box. We love everything that you do. And thank you so much, everybody who's on the other side, for continuing to listen.
Thank you. There's the mine.
For having me.
Thank
you. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.